Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. Today we have a very special treat with the Michigan State Spartan legend, Bill Burke. Bill played competitive football for 16 years and was the former quarterback at Michigan State under the greatest college football coach in history, Nick Saban. When the door to his NFL dream closed, Bill was left with more questions than answers, but he resiliently found a way forward to make a meaningful impact. Today, Bill is a speaker, entrepreneur, and author as he recently released his first book, Victory Outside the Arena. Get ready for a conversation on leadership that extends from the field to your home that will ignite your transformation and help you win in the game of life. Thank you for joining us today, Bill.
It's great to be here, Dan. Looking forward to the conversation.
Likewise, man. I'm already feeling pumped up and fired up for this conversation. So I know
it's
going to be
a
good one, and like a Spartan brother here. So excited to dive in.
Yeah, it's always good for me to connect with people that went to Michigan State and the green and white. It's just such a great community of people, not only current students, but, you know, the alumni just spans the globe. So I'm fired up to be here with you.
Yeah, likewise, man. And you're actually in the area out there, too. So you're constantly getting involved in MSU and what they got going on, right?
Yeah, I try and stay connected. You know, I always thought it was a great place to raise a family. I've got a couple of kids. My wife's a Spartan. Hopefully our kids will be Spartans as well. One day here soon. But yeah, I'm just down the road from East Lansing. And so always excited to get over there and just kind of check in with everybody. And it's a great place to be a sports fan and to be an alum, because there's so much going on, not just with football, but all the sports and all the different goings on of the MSU community. It's just a really special place, I think.
Yeah, it's a great organization. And you know, I actually developed some of my roots there as well, not only with Nova Fusion, but just growing as a person, as that was a big chapter of my life. So it's good to hear that it's been good to you as well, and your family bleeds green over there.
100%.
That's awesome. So, man, let's get this conversation started. I always love picking apart the backstory, and specifically for you, I'm curious, what were some of those experiences and struggles that you faced early on that were on your way to becoming the quarterback at Michigan State? And so, like, what were some of those early adversities that helped you prepare for those bright lights?
Great question. You know, there was so much, especially early on in my career. When I first got to Michigan State, I was redshirted, so I didn't play right away, but I had to kind of learn how to be a worker. You know, it's so different from high school football, where you just show up after school for a couple hours, you practice, and you go home. There's so many differences. It was like night and day. So when I got to Michigan State, you know, you really had to adjust to just the time commitment. There's so many meetings, so many, you know, obligations that you have to put in, lifting wise and meeting wise, and you have to pay attention to your nutrition. You got to put in extra work beyond the practice field. All of those things were quite an adjustment, not to mention the fact that I'm originally from Ohio, so it was just a huge adjustment in general to be away from home and to adjust to college life. So initially, I had to learn how to, you know, put in the work at a major Big Ten school. balance that with being a full-time student as well. It's not an easy task. So a lot of the adversity came just from an adjustment perspective, but also, dealing with injuries, dealing with the physical demands of playing major college football. Again, not easy to do, but I had a passion for it since I was 5 years old. So there was nothing that was going to hold me back from following my dream and putting in the work, because I continued to dream about the day when I'd be able to run out of that tunnel and actually take snaps for the Spartans.
What a story. And, you know, that's what I love about sports too, is because it always comes with the ups and downs, and that teaches us so much, not only about ourselves, but life and how to navigate those uncertainties and those adversities that show up. And like you said, injuries, you know, that can be a physical and a mental setback in your life that, you know, you may get back to full strength, you know, physically, but mentally you don't want to really put yourself in a situation that's going to repeat that same action. So, you know, just navigating through all of that, it can be a lot. And so I'm curious, were those injuries on your way to becoming the quarterback at Michigan State, or did you battle those injuries throughout your college career as well? Dr. Doug's offers the best organic topical balms for protecting, healing, and restoring your skin and life. Just twist off a cap, apply like lotion, and get ready to feel outstanding. My favorite products are the magnesium balm for headaches and recovery balm for coaching basketball or training for a Spartan race. But that's not all. It started with Dr. Doug's original Miracle Balm, a rejuvenating balm fueled with all organic ingredients, including beeswax, extra virgin olive oil, extra virgin coconut oil, shea butter, peppermint and lavender essential oils, and vitamin E. This one-of-a-kind solution is designed to tackle an array of skin concerns such as itchy dry skin, eczema, any rashy, irritated areas, and much more. Now, if you're bright and pasty like me, you may want to consider their Miracle Balm plus zinc as a natural sunscreen to keep you from frying up without any harmful SPF chemicals that are linked to cancer. Now, do you hate bugs? Me too, but we got you. Try Dr. Doug's Bug Potion to repel bugs, relieve itchy bites, and kill bacteria so you can enjoy the great outdoors once again. There is truly something for everybody, including that little one in your life who is trying to tell you to get Dr. Doug's baby balm for their bum right now. And here's your chance. Click the link in our show notes now to enhance your life with Dr. Doug's balms and get extra to share with those who you care about. Take back your power and feel outstanding with Dr. Doug's natural balms.
Actually, they came after I was the starter in my junior year. I became the starter, started to really deal with the excruciating back pain. It felt like I was being stabbed in the lower back every time I threw a ball at practice. So hundreds of times a day, I would just have this sharp pain in my lower back. And we eventually found out that I had some compressed discs that were causing that pain. But when you're trying to be a high-level major college athlete, it only magnifies those health issues that you have. So I went through a lot to try and rehab physically, but also spent some brief time talking to a sports psychologist just about how to reframe, you know, the way I was thinking about my injury. That really helped out a lot. And actually, his name was Dr. Lonnie Rosen. He was a consultant for Nick Saban, who brought him on while he was at Michigan State, but also in the times after when Coach Saban was at LSU in Alabama. So his teachings really helped me out a lot and allowed me to kind of persevere, because there was a time between my junior year and senior year that I was really giving serious consideration to just calling it quits and hanging it up. I really fought and battled with that mental challenge of whether or not to go on. It wasn't fun at that point, really. I was concentrating so much on the physical restraints. Also had a lot of hotshot recruits that were younger than me that were trying to take my job. Coach Saban and the staff, you know, it's their job to always try and upgrade the talent at every position. So I had people, you know, looking over my shoulder and trying to take my job away from me. Not to mention the fact that I had to show up on Saturday in front of 75,000 people who were expecting and hoping that the home team came out with a win so they could go home feeling good about, you know, what just happened for the weekend. And of course, as you know, the quarterback has a lot to do with whether or not the team wins on Saturday or not. So there's a lot to take in. I wanted that challenge. But to be honest with you, I certainly met many, many moments where I gave consideration to just throwing in the towel. But however, you know, going back to my childhood, I learned a very valuable lesson at the age of 10. I started playing football when I was 8 years old. 10 years old, wanted to quit. I had this coach who was very, had a loud, booming, scary voice. And as a young kid, you know, that's not so comfortable to deal with. So I told my parents that I wanted to quit. They kind of looked at me sideways and said, you know, you love this game. You carry a football with you everywhere you go. What's the reason behind this? And I actually made up some excuse because I was too embarrassed to tell them the truth. So they paused for a second and they considered it and they said, okay, you don't have to play football next year, but because we're in the middle of this season and you made a commitment, you've got to finish what you start. So that lesson really carried with me every single year. And then it culminated at the moment between my junior and senior year at Michigan State. And I just couldn't physically bring myself to call it quits. I was afraid I'd be letting my family down, my teammates down, my coaches down, and most especially myself down. So I just kept going. And then obviously I'm so thrilled that I did. And I'm so glad that I made that decision, because had I not continued, the number of memorable experiences that I would have missed out on during my senior year would have been countless. You know, we beat Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and the guy named Tom Brady, who quarterbacked them, beat Florida in the Citrus Bowl, ended the season as the number seven team in the entire country. So finish what you start has been a major theme throughout my career and throughout my life as well.
Man, I love that. It reminds me of one of my lessons is how you do anything is how you do everything. And, you know, finish what you start, just like you said. And, you know, I can see how that's going to carry you in those tough moments where, you know, physically and mentally, you just want to give up. Like, you got this condition that's nagging at you every day. It's stabbing you in the back. And, you know, it's, you have all this pressure as well, because like you said, you have the arena, you have the coaches, you have, you know, the whole organization that's counting on you. And, you know, that can be a lot of built up pressure that I find really interesting in how people navigate that pressure, because I feel like at those stages where you're playing at a college level, you're playing at a professional level, you know, the talent is there. Like, if you got to that level, like, you're very talented. So in my mind, the things that are the big separators are the mental space. And what do you do when challenge arises? Do you cave in, or do you meet that challenge and rise to the occasion? And finishing what you start, you know, that sounds like finishing the job and rising to the occasion. And so, you know, you had to put in the work and you had to, you know, step up a little bit and do some things that you didn't want to do. But, you know, now it's made some lasting memories that you're going to be sharing with your grandkids. And, you know, it's just a really special story. So I'm glad that you had the courage and the strength to get through those tough times, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, when adversity comes, you know, that's when we crumble. So a lot of respect for you and just what you've been through on that side of things.
No, I appreciate that, Dan. Yeah, it's a lot of memorable experience for sure, but really the lessons that I learned at Michigan State on the practice field and on the in the stadium between the white lines are lessons that just will continue to keep me afloat during those tough times. And they have to this point. I'm so grateful for it, because without that experience, I don't know how I would have handled, you know, post-career and everything else that's thrown at you, you know, during the course of life. But some of those lessons are just so powerful. And now I'm trying to impart those on my kids as well. Of course, finish what you start. But, you know, Nick Saban, my old coach, used to say something to us now, and he's said it for years and years, and it's, can you make yourself do the thing that you know you need to do even when you don't feel like doing it? I mean, that's really the process and the challenge for all of us, I think. You know, it's really putting our standard over our feelings, because we succumb, I think, so many times to our feelings. We want to be comfortable as human beings. We want to be safe. We want things to be easy. We want the easy path. And that's just not always the case if you're chasing big dreams.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always coming. And like our coach says, Ben Newman, you know, you're always going through challenges and you're never going to escape it. Whether you just got out of one, you're in the middle of one right now, or one's knocking on your door to get in. So challenges, they're always coming. And I love that you touched on the lessons here, because I wanted to touch on that too, because you're leading the team now in your senior year with, you know, the greatest college football coach in history. And, you know, there's a lot of lessons, you know, throughout the games, throughout the practices, I'm sure just like off the field as well, at team dinners, at, you know, when you're reviewing film together, there's so much to pick up. So I'm curious, what did you learn from being alongside Coach Saban and being in that Spartan organization?
Well, we could do a whole day on just some of those lessons. I mean, they go on and on and on forever. But you hit on a couple things a minute ago. You know, Coach Saban always tried to teach me to expect adversity. I think so many people just are crossing their fingers and hoping that things are easy and they go according to plan. And I think when you go into any situation and just conduct your life expecting things to be hard or expecting adversity to show up, you're much more prepared mentally for it. And you're much more resilient and confident in knowing that you've spent some time at least thinking about it and preparing for it. And then you can meet that challenge head on. So that's number one. And number two, you know, when I played for Coach Saban, we always lacked or failed to understand why after a win, he was so much harder on us than he was after a loss. You know, it didn't make sense. We always thought as players, and granted, we were, you know, 18 to 22 year olds, didn't know a whole lot at that time, but we were always confused by that. And I think I know now exactly why he would do that. He was afraid that because we had some success, because we had just won a game, that we were going to become complacent and stop doing the things that got us there. And we didn't understand that as young kids, but certainly I understand that now. And I think he was right, because a lot of times when we have success, we're kind of put to sleep a little bit by it. We take our foot off the gas, or we try and get cute and change the things that got us there because we think we've got it all figured out. But it's those daily disciplines that we need to continue to do each and every day, regardless of the outcome, regardless of you whether you win or lose. You know what they are, so just continue to do them. And I think it's having that focus and that discipline that really separates the good from the great. And so that's just one of them. Like I said, there are so many more. But Coach is a legend for many reasons, not just for the wins and the championships, but I think for the impact that he's had on so many people. And, you know, maybe more so than anybody else, he's had a huge impact on my life and continues to have that ripple effect as I now teach some of these lessons to my own kids.
Yeah, that is so good. And one of the things that I'm picking up in that lesson right there is a lot of times we look at who is successful today, and we try to replicate that, see what they're doing that makes them successful. But, you know, so many times we have to go back. We have to go back like 6 months, a couple years. We have to see what they did that brought them to that success. And because you're going to be doing different things in the growth stage than you are at the scale stage, or when you are successful and maintaining that success. So there's so many different actions and just processes involved that, okay, you do certain things at this stage, you're not going to necessarily do them at this stage. And so like just reverse engineering that, I think a lot of times we'll look at that success of what are they doing now and trying to reverse engineer that. But what are those daily disciplines? What are those standards and procedures that you have in place that are behind the scenes that are actually driving that needle forward every day, every week, that gives you that result that you're looking for? And, you know, not being complacent with that success, you know, that's one of the biggest things, because I hear a lot about, you know, celebrating your success, and that's something that we should do. But, you know, if we want to really get to those mountains, as we see here, it's like once we get to one mountain, it's like, okay, next, we made it, what's the next mountain? And we keep on climbing. So I love that you mentioned that. And you know, I'm curious as a quarterback as well, because you have you have the weight of the game on your shoulders, and there's a lot of high and low moments, fourth quarter, like it's crunch time, you got to move the ball up the field. How did you navigate that pressure to stay on point and not let that get to you.
Well, first of all, I think you got to want that position. You got to want to be in that situation. I certainly did. I loved it. I loved the pressure of and the opportunity to get big rewards and, a lot of attention for my performance. But I also love the idea that, if things didn't go well, I knew that the focus was probably going to be mostly on me and the head coach. And so I welcome that. I love being the eye of the storm. I love being out there in front of 75,000 people and being in control of when the ball snapped and making sure that everybody was lined up where they were supposed to be. I love the idea of dissecting mentally what the defense was doing. So I welcomed it. I never shied away from it. It's just where I wanted to be. And physically, I couldn't play any other position. I wasn't fast enough or big enough or strong enough. So that was where I was going to land if I was going to be a football player. But from the time I was a kid, I wanted to be on that type of a stage, emulating my heroes that I watched on TV each and every weekend. And so I just never looked back. It was the most thing or the most thing that I had the most fun at, I should say. So I loved it. I loved being in that position of quarterback, being in the huddle, being in control, being in command, having the several things in my mind that I had to concentrate on at all at once. Some players just have to know what their individual job is. As a quarterback, you've got to know what everybody's job is, both on offense and defense. And I love that aspect. I love mentally being three or four or five steps ahead of everybody else on the field. And so all of it combined, was just a challenge and just a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a chess match and just a
Yeah.
little bit more combat. But you said something there that piqued my interest is that, when obviously when things are good, it's like you're looking at the coach and the quarterback and you're celebrating those guys. But when things go bad, you're looking at the same people and you're actually embracing the bad as well. So can you walk me through that part of it?
Yeah, I think leaders have to accept responsibility. A lot of people just want to be there when things are going well and they just want the credit, but you've got to have the courage, I think, to stand up and put your hand up and say, you know what, this one's on me. Even maybe if it fully wasn't on you, you've got to take some of those bullets for your teammates because you have developed and built the strength to do that. And you've put yourself in that position if you accepted that responsibility. So I just, I don't know. There's a lot of pride that comes in taking that mental approach, not just in football, but in life as well. I want to put the people that I love and the people that I care about on my shoulders and carry them forward. So, again, I just, and again, you got to ask yourself, the question, what's the alternative? Do you want to be under the bright lights? Do you want to do something meaningful? Do you want to do big things? Do you want to do things that most people can't do or aren't willing to do? And if the answer is yes, then there's a big responsibility that comes with that. If the answer is no, there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to understand that you're not going to get those big rewards either. So I wanted all of that. I just did for whatever reason. And like I said, I was very fortunate to be put in that position at a high level on a big stage. And I have to thank Coach Saban and his staff for believing in me and bringing me into Michigan State in the first place, and then giving me an opportunity to lead the team. But you got to understand that there's two sides to that coin. You can have a passion for something, but on the other side of passion is, the sacrifice and the suffering that we all have to endure to be able to pursue that passion. People think of the word passion and it's, warm and fuzzy feelings, and they think of something that they just really enjoy doing, something that puts a smile on their face, and all that's true, but the dark side of that is the suffering and the sacrifice. And so as long as you acknowledge that and realize that, then you're going to be much more prepared to have success. I like to say that the work that you do in the dark will shine in the light. So if you've got that commitment to do all that dark work when there's nobody watching, when there are no lights on you, when there's nobody in the stands, when there are no fans, then you're going to have a lot of success when there are.
Yeah, and that shows you how bad you want it when you're willing to do those dark hours and when no one's there to celebrate you and it's just you versus
Right.
you. That's what it comes down to. It's you versus you and how bad do you want it? But I think that first part was also such a great lesson as well because there's so many times where Well, I think it's really, it defines such a great characteristic of a leader as having that perspective that it may not be your fault, but it's your responsibility to pick up the pieces and, you're going to have the team's back regardless of what happened. And, that's what a leader does is they keep on moving forward. They bring people together and, they make the most out of it. They bring out the best and, they ask the right questions. And so just having that perspective, picking up the pieces and, taking accountability, I think that's going to take everyone listening such a long way if they were to apply that in the situations that they're in. It may not be your fault, but you can be a contributor to fixing it, and that will gain you
Sure.
respect and it'll take you a long way for sure.
No, 100%. Well said. I think it's just, and I love your podcast because it's all about the mental aspects of this. It's such an important thing to learn that mindset is really the foundation for everything. Every decision that you make, every attitude that you take, every perspective that you apply to any given situation. So 100%. I really love the mental aspects of and the mental challenges of just success and navigating life. I think so many of us rely on the changing external circumstances. And I write in my book, victory, however you define that, victory is based on your internal decisions, not your external conditions. So if you take that mental approach, you're going to have a much better mindset and you're going to have much more success ultimately.
Yeah, and like this podcast, EMG experiences plus mindset equals growth. You're hitting the nail on the head here. And I always say that circumstances don't define you, but your decisions do. So that
There
just
you go.
follows up on what you said there. And I always look at the duality of life. So in my logo, there is a yin yang, and for that specific reason is that you can be in the fire, you can be going through those tough experiences. And it can feel really bad. It can feel like the worst time, the worst season of your life. But there's always a sense of duality in every situation. So no matter how bad things may feel, there's gonna be good that's gonna come out of that. And it may be hard to find. It's like a needle in the haystack. It may not come now. It may come 6 months or a year from now. But there's always something positive and good to come from every experience if we're willing to look for it. And so I always remind myself of that, of when life strikes with adversity, I'm like, instead of, because this is what I used to do, I used to react and always look at the bad of situations and how it's implementing or impeding what I'm doing. But now I welcome adversity into my life and I'm saying, okay, how can I turn this adversity into my advantage? How can I turn this negative into a positive? What can I do with this? How can I sharpen my sword? And so there's always something to learn, but we have to have that initial mindset to know that, hey, like I have a growth mindset. I'm willing to learn. I'm adaptable. I can do hard things. And putting all of that together, and you said something earlier, reframing your perspective, when you were injured, like navigating through those tough times and not getting too hard on yourself and not wanting to quit everything all at once as well. And that's a hard battle when you're constantly feeling in pain. I have Crohn's disease, so different conditions, but in a sense they're very similar in dealing with the pain side of things. So I know what it feels like to want to give up on certain things and just throw in the towel, but that resilience and remembering why you're doing it and having that passion, that's what's gonna get us to that other side and that inner fire and that burn that Ben Newman also talks about.
Yeah, no, well said. Absolutely. And I like to tell people too, I've got this simple three-part framework that I think, I like simplicity. And, if you're into the personal development space, there's just so many different things, so many different rabbit holes, so many different programs and frameworks, and they're all good, right? But I like to keep things really simple. So I tell people, look, there's a three-part formula to achieving anything that you want to have. And that's number one, dreams. And I look at dreams as the destination. That's where you want to go. It's what you ultimately want to end up with. Number two, your decisions are the directions to get you there. Your decisions, you have to make some intentional decisions about exactly what you want and how you're going to get there. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, discipline is the difference. So all three of those things are connected, and you've got to connect your emotions to all that as well. But if you start down that road, keep that three D formula in mind, there's no way you can lose, really. If you're consistent, if you're intentional, if you're doing things the right way, there's really no way you can lose, because as you know, and I'm sure you do, you know, there's a lot of patience that needs to be involved with chasing success as well. It doesn't come overnight. So you've got to consistently do those things that you know you need to do, even when you don't feel like it, to make sure that you get there.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. And not only sports, but also life. And switching gears here a little bit, you know, after football, you know, that's a big transition that you hear a lot about, is, you know, athletes going to, like, in a sense, everyday life. And it's like, well, what do I do with myself? Because my identity was in this sport for how many years? And, you know, it's just a hard transition. So I'm curious, how did you transform your identity and your sense of self-worth as well as you transitioned away from football and, you know, something that you lived and breathed every day for 16 years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it was the motivation for writing my book, Victory Outside the Arena. I experienced a lot of confusion, a lot of struggles with my own identity when I finished playing football. And I know there are so many athletes out there, not just in the world of football, but just in every sport, that struggle with the same things. And I think once their careers are over, the support systems kind of fade away. Their teammates might scatter back to their hometown. So there's not a lot of support. There's much more now. There's much more awareness around these types of things. But back when I played, there was really zero support. And I think everybody was struggling with the same things, but nobody really knew how to talk about it, because you're dealing with that athlete mindset of, I'll just suck it up, I'll just figure it out, I'm not going to show any weakness. But it really is a huge challenge, because you're right. You know, you spend, in my case, 16 years of playing organized football. That's where I got my self-confidence from, my self-worth, patted on the back. And then imagine playing at such a high level that you're playing in front of millions of people on TV, 75 to 100,000 every weekend. And then overnight, once you play your last game, all that goes away just in the blink of an eye. So there's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot to deal with. And I think so many of us, especially athletes who thought that they knew their identity because they never had to really explore anything outside of that, anything outside of being an athlete, they're just kind of left to pick up the pieces on who they really are as a human being once their athletic career comes to an end. So for me, it's a continuous journey. You know, it was really hard in the beginning. It's gotten a lot easier, but if I had to point to one thing, it's self-education. I've really made a commitment to pursue personal development, change who I am as a person through the work that I'm doing, that dark work each and every morning when I get up in the morning, in the evenings as well, reframing every single thing that happens to me. And you have the world at your fingertips if you really want to do that, if you really want to make a change. There are books, podcasts like this one. There are all sorts of videos online. There are mentors, coaches. I mean, the resources are really endless. So if you want to change who you are, how you think, change your future, really, the resources are out there. You just got to go grab them. But that's the journey that I've been on. And I love it, because I am growth mindset. I'm a growth mindset person, just like you are. I don't want to stay the same forever. And I don't think anybody should want to stay the same. You should want to be in a continual state of growth, because that will leave you at the end of your life having known that you did everything you could to maximize your full potential, which is what I want for myself, and it's what I want for the people that I work with, because that's really what it's all about. We get one life. We're here for a very brief period of time, and then we want to make sure that we're squeezing every single bit of potential out of ourselves.
That is so good. And the initial thing that I'm thinking here is when you're talking about just that transition, when you're going from playing in front of hundreds of thousands of fans and just recreating that excitement. It's like, I feel like that's one of the questions, is like, how do you even recreate that and feel that again? But it's almost like the impact, because you're creating an impact there, but what's the worth of that impact? When you think about the sport, I don't want to undermine anything, but when you think about like a sports game, and it's like, what is this actually evolving us to? But then you look at the work that you're doing today, you're transforming lives. And, you know, I'm sure you are inspiring kids out there by being the quarterback that you were, and just, you know, inspiring other people to get to that place. But it's a different level of work and a different level of impact that you're having now. So then when we reframe that perspective, and this is for any athlete out there, if they were to think about, okay, the impact that I had on the sports field versus the impact that I could create off the field, and you kind of weigh those two out, it may not feel the same as scoring that winning touchdown on a Sunday, but knowing that going to bed and, just resting your head on that pillow, knowing that you had a conversation today that just changed the entire trajectory of someone's life, that's gonna be a different heartfelt impact that, I mean, I would sleep a lot better in my opinion, just feeling that. So, I just think it's so cool with the work that you're doing and the book now as well. And, talking about personal development and getting more people into that space as well. And one of my questions here is, obviously you were introduced into personal development early on with Coach Saban, but when did you really dive in for it for Bill? Like, when did that adventure and journey start for you, and what did that look like?
Yeah, it's been a couple of decades now. I always liked learning, always, and I was always a nonfiction guy in terms of books. I never really got into fiction. Just kind of my wiring, but I just started absorbing books, and I didn't really know why. I didn't really have any intention around it at the beginning, but really, again, this is a process, and I surround myself with always trying to be growing and learning. So for me, it's been a long time, and I've certainly have evolved. I've learned so much, and I really feel like it's prepared me for the work that I'm doing now, because all this information that I've absorbed, it really doesn't do the world any good or the people that I can help any good if I keep it to myself. I benefit from it, but I really want to now pay that forward in as many ways as I can through speaking and coaching and the work that I'm doing with clients. In a lot of different arenas. So, it's really the foundation, I think, for all of us, for those of us that seek to pursue it. And I just love it. I think it's something that there's no finish line to it. We can always be growing, always be expanding our minds and what we're capable of. And I think that, the more we teach things to other people, the more we coach other people, the more it leaves an even deeper impact on us, the people that are teaching it. When we learn something, obviously has an impact on us, but when we turn around and teach it to somebody else, the impact that it has on us is magnified. So it's a no lose situation. It's win-win for everybody. And I'm just really excited and fired up to get out there and impact even more people, because you're right. For many years, I didn't really realize that what I was doing inside the athletic arena in those stadiums was having an impact on a lot of people, believe it or not. I was just concerned with the fact that I love the game and I was going through my own stuff. And, I was trying to win football games and celebrate with my teammates. And of course, you're aware that there are fans in the stands, but you don't really reflect on the impact that it has. I mean, think about it. People organize their entire weeks and their weekends around coming to see you play. And that's a huge thing. And so when all that goes away, then you don't have that impact anymore. You don't have that connection with people. You're not getting asked as much to sign autographs. So this work that I'm doing now, you're right, it really is filling that void. And it took me a long time to figure that out, but impact is something that I think I really need in my life. And it's a fundamental core value of mine that I want to keep pursuing each and every day.
Love that. And now you are passing the torch and creating this impact with the world of personal development and athletes. And like we said, your new book, Victory Outside the Arena, I want to take a minute to touch on that as we begin to wrap things up. I'm curious, who is this book for, and what do you want the readers to take away from it?
Yeah, like I said, I initially wrote it for former athletes who were struggling with their identity. But, the feedback that I've gotten from people that were non-athletes has been really eye-opening and surprising. I've heard from people that are in all walks of life, from all different age groups and demographics, athletes, non-athletes, how impactful it's been, because it really is a book more than sports. It's a book about transformation and transition. And that's something that we all go through at various times in our lives. So, one of the core tenets for me personally has always been perseverance and resilience. So, that's something that is a theme throughout the book as well. I think it's half philosophy and half practical knowledge. So I'm really excited and proud of the fact that I got it out there into the world. Of course, as an author, you always go back and see things that you would add or take out or change in some way. But who knows, maybe there's a book number two in there somewhere in the future. So it's really for anybody that wants to level up, business people, athletes, and everybody in between.
Yeah, it's so good because, like we said before, sports and life so much overlaps. And, you know, even if you're making a career transition, there's principles in this book that you can apply and make the most of your situation and live a happy and fulfilled life. So, we're going to make sure that we get that in the show notes. We'll drop the link for Victory Outside the Arena. And man, I got one last question, but I knew this was going to be a great conversation and you definitely delivered. So I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us today. One last question here. I always like to ask this to people and get different perspectives. What has been one of the greatest lessons or pieces of advice received that has made the biggest impact on you?
Wow, that's a large question.
It's a hot potato, yeah.
Especially with no time to consider that. You know, I go back to my old coach, Coach Saban, and I mentioned it earlier and I alluded to it earlier, but it really is expect adversity. Again, you know, it's going to come in some shape or form, but it's all about not what happens to you, but how you react to what happens to you. And I think that was a hard lesson to learn for me as a, you know, a teenager in the Michigan State program. But I feel so fortunate, and I tell people all the time who ask me about Coach Saban, I had a front row seat to one of the greatest CEOs in the entire country, not just in the world of sports. You know, everybody calls him a football coach, but I look at him as a great CEO because he was a manager, a fundraiser, a teacher, a coach, all those things combined into one. But we have to be able to embrace discomfort and expect adversity because we all face it at one point or another. And really, if you read the introduction to my book, that lesson from Coach Saban is really the foundation and the inspiration for the entire framework in the book because he came into the meeting one time during a Monday. We always had a team meeting. And he talked to us about how long a football play lasts. And the answer is 6 seconds. But his point was, that's not a long time to do anything. So if you can stick your hand in the fire and just concentrate on those 6 seconds, and you can relate that message to anything that's hard that you have to do. If you can stick your hand in the fire, grit your teeth, build up some of that resilience, and just do what needs to be done and not worry about the outcome, not worry about a week from now or a year from now. If you can just focus on that and then continue to repeat that process, there's no way that you can lose. You're going to get to your goal. Yeah, you might be bloody. Yeah, you might get some scars, but you are going to be moving in the right direction.
All we need is 6 seconds of courage, 6 seconds of laser focus, and we can make a lot of magical moments happen with
that's
that.
That's right.
That is awesome. All it takes is 6 seconds, guys. So when you're overthinking that next step, you know, just remember Bill Burke and his 6 second rule. I love that.
So hey, Dan, one more thing. You mentioned the book. I want to give your listeners an offer. If they like a free copy of the book, all they got to do is pay shipping and handling. But if they like a free copy of the paperback, they can go to outsidethearena.com/free book. Would love to do that for your listeners.
Awesome. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for doing that. We will put that in the show notes, like I said, and we'll have that special link in there so everyone listening can get their free book and start transforming their life. So good.
Awesome.
So now let us know before we wrap up here if there's anything else that you have going on in your world and, you know, what's the best way for us to get in touch with you and get involved with what you got going on?
Yeah, I would love to hear from your listeners. Just reach out. I'm on Instagram, outside.the.arena, and also can be contacted on LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. Bill, thank you so much for impacting us today. You are empowering future generations with life lessons and skills that will continue to grow and better their lives on and off the field. You lead by example with your willingness to give back and do the right thing. And humanity is a better and brighter place because of you. I'm grateful that we crossed paths, and I'm excited to continue growing with you. Go green.
Go white. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the NovaFusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive NovaFusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back. So you have absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to NovaFusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.